Well, good morning, everyone. Wonderful to see you all here. It would be helpful if you could have that reading of Scripture open in front of you. The one that Andrea read, it's page 847 if you've got one of the church Bibles, and that's Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. We'll be looking at a number of Scripture passages. This is not going to be from one Scripture passage, but most of the other verses should be on the screen. But we'll sort of be anchored in Hebrews 4, and verses 1 to 11, as we continue to look at this theme, which we've been looking at for the last 6 weeks or so, God at work. We've looked at God, we've looked at work and creation, work and the fall, work and love, work and guidance was last week, work in Christ. And we come this morning to look at this whole theme of work and rest. Is overwork a problem? So I wonder if you think overwork is a problem. Let's start with the question, what is your pace of life? So what do you think your pace of life is? Slow, medium, or fast? And I reckon that most of us here would probably say fast. This last week, I found a survey online by someone called Professor Richard Wiseman, who works for the British Council, and he's come up with a set of questions that we can ask to assess our pace of life. Slow, medium, or fast. Now, this is some of the questions from his survey. The first question is, are you often the first person to finish at mealtimes? Or how about this one? When walking along the street, do you feel frustrated because you're stuck behind others? I'm sure that's not a problem for any of us here in Hong Kong, right? Would you become irritable if you had to sit for 1 hour without doing anything? Do you walk out of shops or restaurants if you encounter even a short queue? I think on a particular time I was looking at these questions online, I realised that on that one day alone, I'd walked out of a shop or restaurant 3 times because of the queue that already existed there. So what's your pace of life? Slow, medium, or fast? Well, this is what Professor Richard Wiseman had to say about those who came out living a fast-paced life. He says, you're living life in the fast lane, rushing around and trying to juggle too many different activities and projects at the same time. You tend to be impatient, excessively time-conscious, and find relaxation difficult. This might help you to be productive, but your health and relationships could suffer as a consequence. And then his line of advice, try savouring each mouthful of food or relaxing with friends. Thanks, Professor Richard Wiseman. So I wonder how you would score. What's your pace of life? Well, one of the things that we've been looking at in this series is some of God's good, wholesome purposes for our work. We've been thinking about some of the exciting reasons that the Lord has for us to be working. However, the flip side to all that, of course, is that we also need rest. We also need rest. We need time and opportunity to pull back from the work which we have and be refreshed and be recharged. It's probably the case that for many of us here in this meeting room that we are actually leading fairly high-paced, fairly highly charged lives with all sorts of stresses and pressures on us. We go round maybe in a sort of state of near exhaustion, perhaps, feeling tremendously the stress and the pressure of overwork. And even if that's not a description of where we are, I'm sure that we all know people in our workplaces maybe or among our friends who we would say are almost burnt out. And actually God's word to us this morning, therefore, is that we need to take time to rest. Take time to rest. We need time to rest in him, the Lord, and time to rest away from our work, drawing a line under it and saying stop. So then, on the sheets that you have there, we're going to look at 3 headings on rest. And the first of them, of course, God wants us to enter his rest. God wants us to enter into his rest. And there's a couple of things to notice here. And the first is that God rests. God rests. In some way, actually, this is the theme of the whole of God's word, from the book of Genesis right through to the book of Revelation, the rest of God. So if we go right back to the start, right back to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 2, we read, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. So God works for 6 days and then rests, thus giving us also a model of weekly work and rest. at the beginning of creation, God takes a step back and enjoys everything that he has made. He marvels at it. He says that it is very good. He enjoys, if you like, the perfect harmony that exists between him and his creation. We, of course, are made in God's image, so we are made to rest like God. Rest is godly because rest is godlike. So first of all, then, God rests. God also wants us to enter into his rest. We are also to enter into the rest of God, which God has. So when God, for instance, settles his people in the promised land after the Exodus, where there were slaves in Egypt, his aim for them is that they would have rest. So in Joshua chapter 21, verse 44, the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. However, this rest in the promised land wasn't complete because of the people's sin and their rebellion against the Lord. So Hebrews 4 and verse 8 and 9 in the passage which Andrew read for us, where Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And so what that space is saying is that the rest of the promised land, that wasn't whole, that wasn't complete, and actually that looks forwards to something in the future. It actually looks forwards to heaven and the rest that we have to look forward to in glory. So Revelation 14, verse 13, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labour, for their deeds will follow them. So heaven, therefore, is characterised by rest. Hell, on the other hand, is characterised by a lack of rest. So Revelation 14, verse 11, and the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. So God's people are in heaven enjoying rest. God's enemies, on the other hand, and those in rebellion against him are in hell where there is no rest. Now we've looked at a lot of scripture there, all the way from the book of Genesis right through to Revelation. But I hope you can see that actually this theme of rest is one which runs through the whole of God's word. God's rest is actually the goal and the aim of everything that there is, that we would enjoy his rest. So much so, actually, that speaking about God's rest is really just another way of speaking about a salvation or the kingdom of God. God's rest, we could say, is a right relationship with him, where we look to him to meet our deepest and most intimate needs, and where all of our longings are satisfied in him. This rest is available for us. So Hebrews 4 verse 1, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. So God's rest is available to each of us here. We can enter in to the rest which he has promised for his people. How do we enter that rest? Well, of course, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, the Lord Jesus says these very famous words, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So that's the entry point into God's rest. The entry point into God's rest is through the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith, through reliance and confidence in him. We enter into God's rest through believing the gospel, the message of good news. Ironically, of course, we do not enter into God's rest through our works or through our work, but rather only through the finished work of Christ on the cross for us when he took the punishment that we deserved. So rest is not through our works, but rather our rest is through the finished work of Christ for us on our behalf on the cross. And so this is what we might call salvation rest. It's what we might call gospel rest. It's what one author called Tim Keller calls the rest beneath the rest. Okay, the rest beneath the rest. And what he's meaning by saying that, I think, is that there's a sort of surface rest which we experience when we maybe rest from our work, but actually what we all really need is the rest under the rest, that real true rest, that real deep rest which our souls really long for and our souls really yearn for and can only ever be satisfied in the gospel of Christ. We need that deep rest and that deep peace that comes from enjoying the relationship with God that we were created for. And we can never actually truly rest, he's saying, until we have the rest under the rest beneath the rest, that true deep rest that all of us really need, not just that sort of surface rest that we get when we rest our labours. This is one of the things he says. If we can experience gospel rest in our hearts, if we can be free from the need to earn our salvation through our work, we will have a deep reservoir of refreshment that continually rejuvenates us, restores our perspective, and renews our passion. So can you see what he's trying to say there? He's saying that our deepest longings for peace and satisfaction and rest can only be satisfied in God alone. And maybe this is something that we especially need to be reminded of here in Hong Kong. In Hong Kong, I guess, many people are looking for rest. They're looking for it in all kinds of places. We actually, I think many people think that they can find rest through their work, which is slightly ironic, but they think we can find rest through work. So are we those who are highly motivated? Are we those who are highly driven? Do we have a tendency maybe to overwork? Do we feel maybe that we need to stay later at the office than everyone else? Do we think that we can maybe find rest or accomplish rest at our next holiday or finding some wonderful new resort or a new yoga class? Do we feel maybe stressed and burnt out? It's one of the interesting things, isn't it, that for many people in Hong Kong, there's no shortage of opportunities actually for all kinds of leisure and to go on holiday, but yet people still do not actually feel rested. And so we need to hear the promise of rest that the gospel offers us, that the Lord Jesus Christ offers to us in those wonderful words, to come to him and experience rest. Our identity, our worth, our security, the provision of all our needs all ultimately come from God. Only he can give us that deep heart rest that we all crave. So we need the rest under the rest from the one who made us and loves us and sent his son to die for us. Proverbs 23 verse 4 says, "Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint." Remember, there's a really good verse for Hong Kong. Surely that's it. "Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint." And that's maybe also wise advice for some of us here this morning. Do not wear yourself out to get influence. Do not wear yourself out for promotion. Do not wear yourself out for money. Do not wear yourself out for education. Do not wear yourself out for respect. Do not wear yourself out for material possessions. Have the wisdom to show restraint. We need to be wise. We need to realize the limitations of all of those things and find our purpose and satisfaction and rest in Christ alone. So then if you're here this morning and you aren't a Christian, then as always, it's wonderful to have you with us. And what this means for you is resting from your own good works and actually putting your faith and confidence in Christ's finished work on the cross for you, so you can experience this rest. For those of us who are Christians already, this is surely a reminder for us of where that real and true heart rest is actually to be found. And therefore, we mustn't lapse back into sort of striving to prove ourselves through our work or anything like that. But rather remember that deep rest is to be found in Christ alone. As the famous quote from St. Augustine says, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." So as we think about work and rest, I think this is the first point that we really need to underline. First of all, we have to enter God's salvation rest. God wants us to enter his rest. However, that, I guess, also brings up another question for us, which is, what about rest in terms of resting from our work? What about rest in terms of actually stopping maybe the paid employment or other things that we are involved with? And that moves us on to look at God wants us to rest from our work. So what kinds of rest are there here? Well, there's a couple there on your sheet. First of all, there is a daily rest. God wants us to take some time for rest every day. We can see this actually in the example of Christ himself. So John 4, verse 6, we read, this is the story of the Samaritan woman that Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So we see there that Jesus had to rest. One of the other Gospels, Mark 6, verse 31, we read that then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." And so that's maybe a familiar picture For many of us, maybe it's been such a stressful time that Jesus and his followers haven't had the opportunity to eat anything for lunch. And so Jesus knows how they are feeling and is in tune with their needs. And he says those words, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." And so we see that not only Jesus himself in his humanity needed rest, but Jesus also encouraged his followers to actually take rest as well. We need this rest every day. We aren't machines which are sort of meant to just go on and on and on, like one of those waving cats at the restaurant, right? You know those waving cats that basically do this and they go on and on and on and on and they don't ever actually stop. Well, that's not what we're actually like. Rather, we are those that have been created for rest. There's a daily rhythm of work and rest that we need to embrace if we're to function well. It's a wonderful thing, actually, to do a day's work and then come home in the evening to rest. And if Jesus needed rest, then surely you need rest as well, right? I think one practical lesson for us from all this is that we need sleep. We actually need as many hours of sleep as we need each evening. Most people, I'm told, spend about a third of their lives asleep. I'm sure for some it's more. I'm sure for others it's probably less. But the fact that we need sleep surely shows us that we need rest. And sleep itself is a gift from God. If you've ever had the terrible thing called insomnia, you will know just how awful that actually is. You lie there awake all night and therefore you're exhausted all day long. And that just shows and underlines that we need rest each day. So first of all, we have rest every day, then we also have rest every week, weekly rest. And this brings us to the idea of a weekly Sabbath. One day off a week that God wants his people to observe as a day of rest. So we see this in the Ten Commandments. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And the purpose of the Sabbath day was really that the people would remember the Lord. They would remember God. They would, in particular, remember God's creation and when he had redeemed them from slavery in Egypt. So they would remember God as creator and they would remember God as redeemer. So Exodus 20, verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." And then the Lord is Redeemer. We see in Deuteronomy 5:15, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." And so the Sabbath day, therefore, was a time for the people to stop and focus and remember God. It also marked them out as being God's people. All the nations around them, they would slog it out every day of the week, whereas the people who belonged to the Lord, on the other hand, they were to take one day off a week as a sign of their faith and trust and relationship with him. And of course, this explains why the warnings in the Old Testament for breaking the Sabbath day are so severe. The reason was, of course, that the Sabbath day was to be a sign that they were God's people. And therefore, if the people broke the Sabbath day, what they were saying is that they weren't really his people and they were rejecting him. And so it's why, for instance, it was an incredibly serious thing in the Old Testament law to break the Sabbath day. So therefore, we have Old Testament teaching on the Sabbath day. And of course, the big question for us is how far does this apply to us now? So is this a command for ancient Israel to observe the Sabbath day? Is this still relevant for you and I in 2013? Is the Sabbath relevant for us? And of course, this is an area where godly Christians have a variety of views. And there's probably a spectrum of views even represented among you all here this morning. Some Christians would, of course, say, yes, the Sabbath command is still in force, and our Sunday is basically the same as the Old Testament Sabbath. My own view, for what it's worth, is that the Sabbath day has been fulfilled in Christ. Christ has fulfilled the ceremonial law, and so there's no longer, for instance, any more animal sacrifices. There's no longer any holy places or anything like that, and so there's not now one day which is more holy than all the rest. And so Romans 7, verse 6, "We have been released from the law so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." It's interesting that the command to keep the Sabbath is not repeated anywhere in the New Testament. And where the Sabbath is actually mentioned, it seems far more likely that it's actually pointing forwards to the Sabbath rest, the rest of God, which we've already spoken about, which is found in the person and work of Christ, and not a specific time of the week that we should actually keep. So the Sabbath is more a picture, if you like, of salvation rest. So therefore, I do not think we have to keep the Sabbath law. However, I would be very quick to say that I think that there is, however, a principle of taking one day off a week based on the example which God has laid down for us at creation. So not one special day, which is more special than all day rest, but I think we are still required to take one full day off a week from our work based on the example that we see at creation. God wants us to rest, which means that we should have one day off a week in order to rest and be refreshed and meet with other Christians. So we might call this, if you like, the principle of the Sabbath, something which is a wonderful gift from God, which he has given us and that he wants us to observe for our own good. When we overwork, therefore, we're actually harming ourselves. We need rest, and God has graciously made provision for that in his word, this one day off a week. I think one very interesting example of this is that during the French Revolution, apparently, they tried to get rid of a 7-day working week and replace it with a 10-day working week, so people would only have one day off in 10 rather than one day off in 7. It's a bit interesting to see how people would respond if we tried to institute these days. However, the whole thing actually collapsed very fast. Obviously, one problem is that people quite literally did not know what day of the week it was. You can imagine how confusing that would actually be. But the other problem was that everybody was just simply exhausted. They were just simply too exhausted, only having one day off out of every 10, rather than having one day off out of every 7. It's a great illustration, really, of what we see here, that we were meant to have rest. We were created as human beings with the need for rest, that God hasn't called us to this endless work, but actually he's called us to a healthy rhythm of work and rest. And if we mess with that too much, then things do start to fall apart. So the application for us is showing that we need this healthy pattern of work and rest. We mustn't be sort of like a horse which is very blinkered at work, but rather we actually need to see the big picture and to take appropriate rest. Maybe one thing this means for you is you need to take breaks. It means that we need to go on holiday if that opportunity is open to us. It means we don't need to take breaks during the day as well. It seems to me that one of the really good points about Hong Kong is that it seems as if almost everyone gets a really good lunch break, which is a wonderful thing. And admittedly, we may have to work later in the evening. We may have conference calls, maybe, which other parts of the world haven't got. But at least there's this really healthy culture of actually taking a good lunch break in the middle of the day. And then I think the other application of this for us is that we do need to take regular time off, one full day off of work a week. It's been my own experience that actually when I do take that day off, that my productivity and general well-being increases. I can remember in the very first ministry job I ever had, I wanted to preach well, I wanted to lead well, I wanted to get all sorts of programs and things off the ground. And so I thought that I would be really clever and I would actually work every day, mostly for all the wrong reasons, I hasten to add. And I lasted about 3 weeks and then just simply crashed. But I learned a very important lesson through that, which is that I needed time off every week to actually rest. And if I took time off to rest and be refreshed, then I was actually far much more useful and far much more clear-headed and clear-thinking on the other 6 days of the week, and actually ended up working far more efficiently. So make sure you have one regular day off a week if you can. There's an interesting survey recently by Oxford University Press that looked up thousands of blogs and newspaper articles and journals and came up with a list of the most 100 commonly used nouns. The most 100 commonly used nouns. It's very interesting, the most commonly used noun was the noun time. That was the most common one. The words year and day also featured in the top 10. Work was number 15 and week was number 17. But what's interesting is that the word rest and the word play never even made it into the top 100. word rest and the word play never even made it into the top 100. And so that poses an interesting question for us. What does that say about our world? And maybe how far does the concept of rest enter into our vocabulary? If we thought of the top 100 words that we speak, where would the word work be, and where would the word rest be? And what does that actually say about how we think about these things? I guess one potential pitfall, especially if we are in a volunteering role or if we're in Christian work, maybe can be that we feel really guilty about taking time off. But that shouldn't be the case at all. What we see here very clearly through scriptures that God wants us to actually rest. We need it. It's a really good gift from him. We mustn't feel guilty about taking adequate time off. Rest is not for wimps. Okay? Rest is not for wimps. It's for everyone. It's what God wants for us if we are to live the healthy and well-balanced lives that he intends. So then, what does that rest actually look like practically? What's the purpose of our rest? How are we to use the time of rest that we have? And so as we draw to something of a close, I just want to share three purposes for rest by way of application to really sort of underline and really stress some of the positive benefits that come from it. So then, what's the purpose of our rest? And the first, maybe really obvious one there is that the time that we have off as rest is just simply for that. It's for rest. It's for refreshment. And it's to relax. It's to be for leisure. Taking one day off a week is a wonderful way to do these things. As we've already seen, Jesus wanted his followers to take a time off from their ministry to be refreshed and recharged, and we need that as well. This is what one theologian, a guy called B.B. Warfield, said. He said about the one day off a week, this is the day on which the tired body rests from its oppressive labour and on which the worn spirit finds opportunity for recuperation, an oasis in the desert of earthly cares, when we can escape for a moment from the treadmill toil of daily life and refresh ourselves in God. It's a wonderful last phrase there, isn't it? When we can escape for a moment from the treadmill toil of daily life and refresh ourselves in God. And so it's simply saying that we need a time off for leisure, time off to be refreshed. And of course, it's not only about us being refreshed ourselves. It is also something that we should encourage others to actually take part in as well. So if we've a friend, if we've a spouse, maybe, who is working too hard, then maybe we can think of some practical ways to relieve the pressure on them so that they too can be refreshed. You would, of course, know for you what things you tend to find relaxing and refreshing, or things you like to actually do, whether that's going hiking, maybe going out into nature, maybe watching movies or reading or sports, whatever it happens to be for you. And we do not need to justify those things by saying that we are doing them as evangelism or saying that we're doing them as ministry. It is okay just to go out there and relax and enjoy the leisure time that we have without guilt, to escape for a moment from the treadmill toil of life and refresh ourselves in God. So first of all, we're to use our rest time for rest. Then we're also to use it for reflection as well. So I think one of the other really helpful things about regular time off is the opportunity which it gives us to simply just step back and reflect. So when we stop working, that enables us to get a little bit of a distance from our work. It helps us to see things more clearly. It allows us maybe to see God's hand on our lives, areas where he's blessing us, areas where he's challenging us. One of the purposes of rest as well is it keeps us humble for actually taking this step back and reflecting on things. It reminds us that the world does not actually revolve around us. We are not indispensable. A couple of years ago, I went on holiday, and the 2 weeks that I was away on holiday, I made a promise to myself that I wouldn't check my email for 2 whole weeks. And it was really hard. It was really hard. The number of times when I was almost there, and was almost on my way to the computer suite in the hotel, but I managed to actually manage the whole 2 weeks without checking my email once. And it was actually really good. And you know what? When I returned to Hong Kong, Ambassador International Church was still here. The world had kept on moving. There was still food on the sort of shelves, you know, of the supermarkets. And everything was actually normal and fine and okay. And the whole world had managed to keep on going without me having email access. You see, and rest is really good for that sort of thing, right? Rest reminds us that we are not indispensable. It's a reminder that ultimately it is the Lord who keeps things going. It is the Lord who makes our work prosper. It is the Lord who keeps the world turning on its axis. It is the Lord who provides for us. The former French Prime Minister Charles de Gaulle apparently once said, "The graveyards are full of indispensable men." Okay? The graveyards are full of indispensable men. These people that thought they were so great and thought they were so indispensable, but they obviously weren't because they're now in the graveyard. And what he's saying there is basically the case. We may think we are so important and so indispensable that we need to slog and we need to work absolutely flat out. But rest is a weekly reminder that we are not. We are not indispensable. So one of the purposes of our rest is refreshment and rest. Another we could say is reflection. And then a final one we would say is edification. So actually time to rest is not just an excuse to unwind and to watch a movie and relax, but it's also an opportunity for us to come together as God's people to be encouraged and to be built up. And this is one of the functions of the passage of Hebrews that we were looking at. Elsewhere in Hebrews chapter 10, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Psalm 19 verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." And so rest is not just about non-activity, it is also about meeting together as God's people to encourage one another and to hear God's word, which revives our souls. As someone else has said, rest is not the withdrawal of activity, but a renewal of vitality. So when we've had a hard week, maybe at work, God's will for us is to meet together here on Sunday mornings and be refreshed as we sing songs, as we enjoy being with one another, and as we hear God speak to us through his word. See, very often I think God does not refresh us through breaking into our lives in a sort of explosive and very dramatic way. Rather, actually, the way that God rests us very often is, I think, the faithful week-in, week-out habits of meeting with other believers and hearing God's word in a variety of contexts. And it is through that, actually, that we are refreshed and rejuvenated. And so rest in the Bible is a time for meeting together. It's a time for edification. It's not a time to stop meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing there, Hebrews 10 verse 25, but rather a time to be spiritually renewed as we meet together with other Christians. So then three purposes for rest: refreshment, reflection, and edification. I wonder which of those areas you need to work on. Which of those areas of rest do you need to work on? Refreshment, reflection, and edification. Maybe you're the kind of person that really strives to edify others and to be edified yourself, but yet you aren't actually very good at taking time off to be refreshed, maybe, and to enjoy your leisure time. Or maybe you're the exact opposite of that. Maybe you're the kind of person who's really good at looking after yourself and being refreshed in your own leisure time, but yet you're not really that good at either being edified yourself spiritually or edifying those around you. So which area do you maybe need to make some improvements in this week? Refreshment, reflection, or edification? Maybe there's some particular challenges here for some of us. Maybe it's a challenge of refreshment. Obviously one huge impediment to reflection can be these things, right? Huge. We have so much technology that's constantly beeping and vibrating and glowing and looking for our attention constantly. So much so that it actually affects our ability to unwind and rest and actually switch off and unplug. I have one friend who was saying to me recently that he stopped checking his work emails after 9 p.m. in the evening. I really wish that I was able to stop checking my emails after 9 p.m. in the evening, but it's all too easy to reach for the phone and my thumb goes on the little icon and to check your email right at the last thing at night and the first thing in the morning. So maybe there is a specific word for some of us along this whole idea of refreshment and knowing when to draw a line under our work. For others, it's maybe the challenge of edification. Do we view meeting together like this as part of our rest? Or actually really trying to make that actively part of our rest? In a few weeks, many of us will be going away on holiday, which is a wonderful opportunity we have. But what will we actually do to be edified spiritually while we are away on holiday. So let me say to you, as well as relaxing your physical bodies, why not really try and also do something to refresh your souls? Maybe take opportunity just simply to list some areas of God's goodness in your life. Maybe to simply pray and give thanks to God for his love for you, and to remind yourself that what's really important in life is not your grades or your work or your performance, but actually simply knowing God and being in Christ. Then one final thing we need to say is that to take time off requires faith. To take time off requires faith. It shows faith in God. It shows faith that God is really the one that we're putting our confidence in. He is the one who's looking after us. He is the one who cares for us. And therefore, we do not actually need to work all the hours which God sends. And therefore, taking time off also sends a very powerful message to the culture that we are in. In a world that's constantly striving and relying on itself, taking appropriate rest shows that our confidence is actually in the Lord, the one who created heaven and earth. And so the application from the sermon this morning is this: take some time off and have some rest. Take some time off and have some rest, and maybe help someone else to have some rest as well. One of the things that we've seen in this series is the importance of work, but what we are really reminded of here is that rest is important too. Many of us live high-paced jobs in high-placed companies, and all of that's good and it honours God. It's where God wants us to actually be here as salt and light to glorify him. But we also need to be aware of the pitfalls of that as well. None of our hard work ever gets us right with God, and we all need to take time off to be refreshed. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we want to give you thanks for the gift of rest. We thank you that you made us to rest, and it's part of your plan for us to be refreshed through taking time off. Father, we give thanks for the example of Jesus and the fact that he calls us to rest in you. And so, Father, we want to pray for each of us here. We pray that we might be those that experience your deep salvation rest. We pray that we might be those who are outward looking and strive to help others to rest around us. And we ask, Father, that through our rest, that we would be those who are equipped to live as your people and those who can bear witness to your name in our workplaces. And we ask these things now in Christ's name. Amen.